On the hunt for lost ROI? Chart a course and find hidden profit potential with Acuron Corn Herbicide. It's the only herbicide strong enough to bury competing weeds and help you unearth 5 to 15 more bushels per acre. How's that for hidden riches? Uncover the real value of Acuron at Acuron-Herbicide.com. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Listening to DIY for Business. It's Russ and Greg with you. Greg, I'm a little tired, but I'm gonna fake it. I'm gonna do the energy thing. I went to the Giants game last night.
You did go to a Giants game last night, and you saw a win. So that's always nice.
I did see a win, but you know what else I saw? I saw Will Clark. We weren't social distancing. He was within 6 feet of me. It was so cool. Like childhood baseball hero, just randomly running into him last night. And so I actually got home and I was jazzed up just about that. Didn't get an autograph. Didn't get a photo. Nah, I just said,
"You don't need
what's
that.
Up, Will?"
Hey, that's cool. Excited.
And I was like, "You're the best, man," or something like that, some random little thing. And my son did try to get an autograph. My son did get a toss-up as well, so that was cool. So all around, just not only did the Giants win, but it was a win.
Well, I don't want to age myself or nothing, but I still remember Will Clark's first at bat hitting a home run off of Nolan Ryan.
Nice.
His very first at bat as a major leaguer. I totally remember all the hype of him coming up to the Giants. And yeah. I was so excited. Everybody was talking about what a sweet swing he has. And first at bat, it's a home run off Nolan Ryan. I mean, that was so iconic. Man,
Will the thrill.
Will the
you gotta
thrill.
Love it. It was a beautiful time. And you were 45 little... at the time, right?
What's that?
You were 45 at the time, right? No, I'm kidding.
Wow. Kidding. That hurts. I was going to say I was 5 at the time, but you know, somewhere in between was probably the accurate answer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were hired, not because you went to the Giants game, but you also did improv today.
I did. I did the improv class and I showed Drew the video. So we actually, here's the secret, guys. We did a video last time. It was our first time doing the video on the show here. This one we're also doing video on. And really all I had to show him was the beginning of it, Greg. The dance. And he loved it.
And then he knew that that was going to be the video of all time. Yeah, he's going to show this off to all of his friends, all of his fans. Yeah,
exactly. Well, I think that's what we do to promote the show is we just have you, we take your part at the beginning when you're doing the dance, we put it on TikTok and it'll be the craze. And there you go.
Well, I think we need to introduce our guests because next time we bring Fidel Barraza on, he's going to have to do the dance with me.
Yeah, exactly.
So, sure. Show me how. Just tell me.
You put your hands up, bounce around your chair. You look silly, but
I have a 4-year-old, so I dance silly all the time.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. It's a requirement of being a dad. Dad and dad jokes.
For sure.
Well, Fidel, welcome to the show. I want to give you your proper due. Fidel is the host of the East West Football Podcast. He's the very first show to sign on with Winner's Edge Sports Podcast Network on ElectriCast. So, Fidel, welcome to the show.
Greg, Russ, thank you so much for having me.
No, we're really excited because, again, you're the first show coming on to Winner's Edge. Tell the audience a little bit about East West Football Podcast.
So, we started back in February 2020. So, I'm in California. My colleague Kendall Whitley's out in North Carolina, and my other colleague, Jerry Martinez, out in Texas. So essentially, we've never met in person. So we've been doing this podcast remotely the whole time.
Wow.
Yeah, just kind of met through social media.
Oh, okay. So you met through social media.
I'll give a short version of the story.
Yeah.
I was looking for a job. I had quit my job, and I was kind of just going through, what exactly I wanted to do. I landed on this post that was looking for NFL scouts. I was like, hey, I'm interested. he put us in a big like social media chat on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And essentially that's kind of how I met Kendall and Jerry on there.
Really?
Interesting. Yeah. That's cool.
That's the short story, but give us the long story. How did you actually contact each other and figure out you wanted to do a podcast together?
Well, let's rewind the clock 2 months prior to that. So I had tried to do a Raiders podcast by myself, but I had no idea how to do it. I did it. It sounded horrible. I stopped doing it. That's a great shirt, Greg, by the way.
Great cap. Great cap on
the. So that was doing my research, and I just didn't have anybody to do it with. So, you know, we ended up in that chat, and Kendall sent a message out like, "Hey, does anybody want to start a football podcast?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." And there was these two other guys, and they ended up flaking out, and Kendall ended up recruiting Jerry, and that's how we started doing it. Nobody had like any idea like what we were doing. So if you go back and listen to the very first episode, it sounds horrible, but at the same time, it's nice to listen to it because we can hear us grow as a team. Yeah. So, right. Yeah, that's how we started. And yeah, it's been a roller coaster ever since.
Nice. I can't believe you guys have not met in person. Listening to you guys and getting to meet you guys, through, you know, virtually here as well, it feels like you guys fit so well together. It's cool that you're able to pull that off without even actually, I don't know. I guess that's a more of a statement on how amazing the world is.
But then you got to think about it too. The month after the world change, we went in lockdown. I had started a job the day before the lockdown. So essentially I was quarantined before it was cool. That's the way I like to say it. So I was already a pro at it. So first day at the job and then next day, hey, you got to go home. So you're from home for the year, which I mean, it worked out good because I was able, you know, to, cause I commute to work 45 minutes to an hour every day. So a lot of the interviews, you know, we had people on the East Coast, so it just worked out a little bit better just cause I was already at home and whatnot. But yeah, we've been making it work going on 3 years almost.
That's crazy. So
We have a lot of audience that are podcasters themselves, and, you know, they're going through their own struggles of getting their podcasts, you know, created or heard, developed, produced, all of those types of things. And I'm just curious, like, what's been the biggest steps that you've three made to make your show as good as it is today? I mean, obviously, you mentioned before, it started off, it was a little rough. Like, all of our shows are rough. I mean, Russ and I have joked about it so many times that our first shows, we don't even post them because they were so rough. But, you know, how did you get to the point where you guys are so smooth now?
Trial by error. It's like riding a bike. When you get on a bike the first time, you're not going to be able to ride it the whole time. You're going to fall. But you just got to make sure you keep practicing. Mm-hmm. So as you do more shows, you know, more content's out there, you start to improve. Once you start working with the same people, you pick up on their cues and whatnot. And it's just communication is key, number one. And also just making sure that you always want to improve your craft. So I'm the type of person that if my name's going to be on something, I don't want it to sound horrible. So even if I stay up to 1, 2, 3 in the morning to do the edits on the show, because I also edit the show, I'll do that just because I don't want to put something out there that's just blah, you know, just not my style. And I just don't want anybody to say, well, hey, I heard your podcast, Fidel, and it just, you know, didn't sound good or anything like that. So just got to keep on trying, perfecting the craft. And that's still what I'm trying to do. It's a never ending process. I do believe.
And, you know, I was thinking, it's like, there's your business tie-ins, right? I mean, that's exactly what I went through in business, trying to perfect my craft, trying to get better at it each time. And then staying up the late nights and getting through things. I like your analogy of the bike, you fall off, you get back on. The other thing, you know, with that is sometimes, like, you know, when you're riding the bike, I think about like, now I'm going to totally get into a personal story. My daughter, you know, went out on a date the other night, boy in his car. The same exact day, I get a pop-up from my Google reminders photo thing that says, you know, oh, check out this reminder from, I don't know, 10 years ago, 12, you know, 12 years ago or something. I look at it and it's me pushing her and letting her ride on her bike for the first time by herself, like pedaling. And I'm like, oh man, what a difference a couple of a decade makes.
Time flies, doesn't it?
But like thinking about that, right? And applying that, I, and I, I thought of this, you know, when I was like, I was kind of like, you know, doing a little presentation at the day job, you know, talking to folks. And I thought of like taking risk, right? Like taking risk is kind of like the riding the bike thing, right? Like it's taking a risk, like just getting on the bike for the first time, but you go a little slower, right? And then you fall. It's not as bad. You're falling into the grass or you're falling into something. And, you know, hey, the bruises that you get, that well, they get a little bit better, right? Like they get better over time because they go away, you know, or the scrapes, they're gone in a couple of weeks. And it's like, you don't remember that, but you learned the lesson of riding the bike, you know, I love that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the other thing, too, is that I think a lot of people get discouraged by their friends and family at times. And what I mean by that is they'll put themselves out there to try something new, maybe something that their friends or family, like they've never done in the past. And, you know, people like to scrutinize and sometimes people get discouraged. So to anybody out there listening that's discouraged by a friend, family member, just keep going. Eventually, they're going to start supporting you and they'll say, man, I can't believe you did this. How'd you do it? Well, it's called hard work and dedication. So that's probably the number one thing I would say to anybody that's looking to start a podcast or that started one and kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this. Cause I mean, you get criticized a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I criticize myself a lot in those early episodes too. Like it's even the self criticism. You got to get past that and get that out of your head and just go for it. Just do it.
Well, what's funny about that, Russ, is like you tell me what you criticize yourself for. And in my eyes and my ears, because it's obviously an audio type medium here, I don't hear those things. So, you know, what you criticize yourself for and what you're focusing on is not necessarily what the audience hears. And a lot of times, you know, people need to remember that. Even when you're doing a sales presentation or you're at work or whether you're doing a podcast, a lot of the stuff, the monologues that's going on in your head, these little alarms are going in your head. Nobody's picking up those errors because they don't know what you're supposed to say. They don't know what's supposed to happen. As long as you just keep going and powering through and be entertaining and create content and be informational, people are going to enjoy that. And that's what I like about your show, Fidel. It's super informational. And you guys have great guests. I love your guests.
Yeah, I mean, we've done a great job, and Kendall gets, you know, a lot of the guests, but I reach out as well, and so does Jerry. It's a mixture. It's a team effort, totally, that makes the show, you know, what it is, and it's good.
And, you know, it's probably, see, for Greg and I, it's like we split the work, right? So for you, you get 33% of the work, so you get to split it three ways. That's kind of awesome, too.
That's
a win. We got to get a third person on this show, Greg.
Well, it's a lot easier when you have the co-host on the same side of the world as you. So, that's the other thing. I'm on the West Coast, they're on the East Coast, Central Time. So it's we're all over the place, man. So
Well, you do a great job with it, and I want to continue the conversation and talk more about it, more about the show, tied into our business thing here, because I think there's a lot of stuff that we can kind of combine there and talk about both of them. We'll do that right after this.
And we're back with DIY for Business. Russ and Greg here with you. Our guest today is Fidel Barraza. He is one of the three hosts to the East West Football Podcast. That is one of our newest shows on the Winner's Edge
Electricast
Network on Electricast Media. And before the break, we were talking a little bit about, you know, how, you know, what you're doing in your podcast and business kind of all relates, and you kind of bring your business background into the podcast. And one of the things you've done that you've been really integral as growing your podcast is, you know, creating the website to promote the East West Football Podcast. Tell us a little bit about how you guys developed that website, and, you know, you kind of divide things up three ways, who's doing what, and how long did it take you to kind of build that?
So I want to say it was within probably 4 to 5 months after we started the podcast, we started thinking that it would be a really good idea to start a website, because think about all the people that apply for these jobs with these big companies, ESPN, Sports Illustrated, or ESPN.com, just a lot of different places, right? And just the people that don't get the opportunity, just like ourselves. I mean,
sure.
Essentially, when we started, it was just us, right? So, so we thought it would be a good idea to start the website, and that's how that came about. We got I mean, Kendall did a great job recruiting people. Jerry did as well. We got people all over the place, man. We got people on the East Coast, West Coast, Central. It's all over the place, man. EastWestFootball.com. We have some really great content on there, some really great writers. But yeah, that's essentially how the website got started, and we're still going strong.
So give us a little more details about the website, because you're absolutely right. There's a lot of content on your site. So give our audience a little idea of what they're going to see when they get to the website.
So essentially, it's football all year round. So what I mean by that is, so the draft just ended, but there's going to be a new draft next year. So Jerry and Walter Stringer head the scouting department for the website, eastwestfootball.com. So there's content on there about prospects for next year's draft and just reviewing this year's draft. Mm-hmm. We got people writing about different divisions in the NFL, for some freelancing articles. So it's just a lot of football content. So if you're a football fan, you definitely want to go check out the website.
Football year round. Okay. I'm going to just out myself as not the football guy. I talked about baseball. I watch baseball. I'm not the football guy. But now it seems like there is football year round. There's these other leagues that have popped up. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, not even that, just like the NFL. I mean, there's always something going on. I mean, in next month, it's going to be training camp before you know it. You know, the Raiders are going to be playing the first preseason game against Jacksonville in Canton, Ohio for the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, it's just football is everywhere. I mean, there's always storylines. Like today, Minkah Fitzpatrick signed an extension with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Marcus Davenport, they amputated his pinky. So, I mean, there's always things going on in the league for sure.
And I feel like football does that right. Baseball just kind of dies. You know, in the winter, it's like, I don't really pay attention. I don't know. It's different.
I'm a Yankees fan. I watch baseball, but to me, MLB is kind of lost. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to say shine. I don't think that's the right word, but it's just, there's something different about the NFL. It's more intense. Maybe it's because there's not a lot of games like there is in baseball.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't start paying attention until after the All-Star break. I mean, that might be it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, football's just different, man. It's just,
I think that there's more trades. There's a lot. I mean, okay, there's two major differences of football and baseball. I'm a big fan of both sports, right? But I think there's more trades, more blockbuster trades, more interactions going on in football than in baseball. And the second thing is the NFL has done an amazing job. You mentioned the draft, Fidel. The NFL has done an amazing job of promoting the draft. I mean, it's being televised for three straight nights. I mean, they just had it in Las Vegas. Fidel, you went to it personally. You were there. Yeah. You saw the spectacle that was the NFL draft firsthand. I mean, the baseball draft, nobody talks about it. It's what, 20-something rounds? I don't know how many rounds it is. It's a lot of rounds. And nobody, you know, besides the top 10 players, nobody knows anybody that's in the baseball draft. But the NFL draft, people are scouting that thing. People know all the way down to the sixth round who they want their team to pick. It's incredible, the momentum and the excitement around the draft in the NFL.
And I will say the marketing that the NFL does is amazing. And you mentioned I was just at the draft in April. Mm-hmm. Man, that thing was a part of the whole week. And just, you know, the first day there was over 100,000 people. It's just, it's different. It's a different type of sport. I mean, if you paid attention to the ratings that the draft did, I mean, it was outnumbering the NBA playoffs and whatever sporting event was going on that day. It's the same thing for the schedule release. Schedule release is a huge thing now. You promote the thing.
Crazy.
You know?
A lot.
Yeah. Tell us what it was like at the draft. I mean, I was envious when you told me you're going to the draft. I was like, oh gosh, cool. Maybe I should go meet you down there. I got to figure out a way to go meet the bell because this is gonna be blast. What was it like in person?
Well, before I tell you what it's like, I think I have to kind of tell you how that came about. So, you know, I'm in California, just like you guys. So Vegas is not too far away from me. So when I knew this was going to happen, I told myself I was going to go regardless if I had NFL credentials or not. And I told the guys, hey, I'm going to make the trip out there. I had one of my coworkers at work. She made me a East-West press badge. I mean, it's not fake. It's real. It's you know, our company, right? So I started reaching out to people on LinkedIn. I was like, there's got to be a way where I'm going to be able to access all the media stuff because essentially I'm a part of the media. So, you know, I was emailing people, messaging people on LinkedIn, and everybody was like, hey, well, you have to go through NFL communications website if you don't get approved, you can't go or you can't get in where the media is. So I had been trying for like over a year, like to get approved for this website. So one day I'm just like navigating through the web and I'm just clicking on different pages. Well, on one of the pages, it showed a number for the NFL corporate office in New York, Park Avenue. So like, well, I don't know, this number might not be real. So, but I called it and someone picked up the phone and said National Football League. So at that point I hung up. So I hung up the phone. I collected myself. I was like, all right, I'm going to call back. I got to know what I'm going to say. So I called back, say, hey, my name is Fidel Barazin with East West Football. I'm hoping to speak to someone in your PR department. She says, please hold. I get transferred to a voicemail. So I leave the voicemail, pretty much saying who I am, what I'm trying to accomplish. The next day around 4 o'clock, I have a number calling me from Kentucky. So I have clients out there for my actual job. So I pick up the phone and he was like, hey, is this Fidel Barraza? I was like, yes. He's like, oh, hi, it's Dalton from the NFL. How are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm good. So then I go outside, talk to him. And he's asking me, hey, were you able to attend the Super Bowl this past season? I was like, no, because I was like, I've been having issues getting, you know, credentialed through the website. He's like, well, what's your email? So I get my email and he's like, all right, you're good. You're all set. I'm like, really?
Nice.
So then he had told me, he's like, look, he's like, the deadline for the draft was last week. So I can't actually give you, you know, media access to get in. So he told me, he gave me this email for this person. There was an agency that was running pretty much the draft for the NFL out of LA. So I contacted the person like, hey, I'm going to be in Las Vegas on Wednesday. I'm going to be attending the draft for East West Football. He's like, perfect. He's like, come by. I'm going to give you some media wristbands. So the routine was, early in the mornings, we would walk to the hotel, get our wristbands, and then go have the media access. And I was able to, you know, be with the actual media. It was really great. It was mind-boggling, to say the least, that I was there. That's awesome. And I was, yeah, talking to people. So,
I mean, all the people that you've seen on TV for years, you're actually rubbing elbows with.
I talked to Rich Eisen for a little bit, Steve Mariucci, when he was doing the commercial breaks and whatnot. So yeah, it was great, man. The NFL just does an amazing job because there was a lot of fans. There were a lot of different activities, but yeah, man, it was great to be at the draft and represent the company.
That's awesome. I love that. Again, there's that persistence and just trying everything and just getting it done, having the confidence that you're going to get it done and just going.
I was going to go regardless. Right. And I was going to make it happen. Actually, one of my friends, Xavier Herrera, he lives out there in San Diego. I told him, I was like, hey, look, I'm planning to go to the draft. I need a camera guy. And he's kind of just starting to do that kind of thing. So he went with me and he was my camera guy. So he was the one that was catching me as well. So shout out to him for sure.
That is so cool. You know, Fidel, I love what you're doing here. It's like you're giving so many people credit. I love it. Like you've mentioned all these different names of people to like that have helped you out, and I think that's awesome that you're doing that. Yeah, like man, a lot of people. Sure. Oh no, I did this.
No. Well, I mean, it's a journey, it's man. Cool. So you know, you have people that help you out and whatnot, and yeah, I'm just appreciative to everyone that's helped me out get this far.
Yeah, that is totally awesome. You know, I always say this. I'm appreciative to Greg. So there you go.
How sweet. Yeah,
see?
Yeah. I know. Thank you. All right. Because I'm looking at you, you know, with the stank exactly. eye that you had to say something. But thank you.
I'll say more things good about Greg when we get back.
We're back with DIY for Business. Russ and Greg here with you. Always go to the Best Business Network to hear all of our business shows on the network. I'm sure you're going to find something that you enjoy. And now you can go to the Winner's Edge Sports Podcast to find all of our sports broadcasts, including East West Football with Fidel Barraza and his two co-hosts. And before the break, we're talking a little bit about the persistence that you really showed to kind of get your show going and your persistence to get to the draft. And I mean, you kind of had to go through the steps to get there. And just from knowing you personally, that's not something you're just doing, you know, that just started with the podcast. You showed a lot of persistence to get your day job, because earlier in the show, you mentioned that you're out of work for a little bit and you're kind of searching for what you wanted to do. But you got a cool story about how you got your job and kind of getting into one of your lifelong passions.
Yeah, so essentially I was at a job for almost 7 years and I decided to leave that job just because it wasn't for me anymore. So that whole year was a journey. Not having a job, just quit, and I had a little baby girl and house payment and fiance and whatnot. So that was a
quite a bit of an adventure. You got to put in a plug for your baby girl and your fiance here.
Vanessa and Alexandra. So they're my rock. Yeah, they're number one supporters. So
yeah,
definitely. But yeah, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't be at that place that I was at anymore and just decided to quit the job. I remember clearly was in the car. I was like, I can't go back in there. Like I just can't. So, it was a year of kind of looking and seeing like what I wanted to do next. And I came across this company called Nexstar Media Group. They're located in Fresno. I've always been fascinated by television and just everything, just about it, the whole thing. So I was like, you know what? I was like, let me see what jobs there was available. I've been in sales for 12 years. So essentially they had a sales job, you know, not available, but they did have a position like that on there. So I found out who the manager was, Michael Burton, shout out to my boss. And I sent him a message on LinkedIn. I still have the messages on my phone. And I was like, hey, introduce myself. Hey, I'm looking for a job. I would love to get a chance to talk to you. He said, yeah, okay. So essentially it took like 4 or 5 months for me to get the job. And I interviewed like 4 or 5 times, but essentially I ended up getting the job, but it was a long process. And, that same day I took that job, I got 3 other job offers and I kind of had to decide like what I wanted to do. Cause the other ones were in the cellular business. So wireless was, you know, and the other thing, keep in mind, this is like right before the pandemic, maybe a week or two.
Wow.
So,
yeah.
Start the new job at the television station. The next day we get sent home.
But the other part of the story that you had shared with me is like he kind of disappeared for a little while. So you had to kind of
hunt him down. He did. He ignored me for about 2 or 3 months. And I kept on bugging him, messages left and right, phone calls, voicemails, you name it, I did it. So essentially my last, like I had made up that day, I was like, all right, this is it. If he answers the phone, cool. If not, I'm just moving on. He ended up answering the phone and we set up a meeting. I meet with them and it took me like 4 or 5 interviews to get the job, but hey, I got the job and I'm still there. So
now, do you think he was during that process, was he testing you? Since you're going for sales.
He was. So essentially it's a sales job. It's commission only. So you got to sell to eat essentially, right? To make money.
Right.
So he wanted to make sure that whoever he brought on next was going to be able to do that.
Right.
And and I was, so.
Yeah. Well, broadcast sales, it's tough. You know, I mean, unless you've got passion to do it getting out there and getting it done. Yeah.
But when you're in sales and you've been selling your whole life, it's the same thing. It's just, you're selling a different product. Essentially, right. When you're doing a podcast too, you're selling yourself. You're selling a story.
Yeah.
Everything's a sell.
Yeah, totally.
Essentially. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what? I wanted to hear both your opinions on this because I find what you just said, Fidel, to be 100% accurate. Podcasting is very much like sales. Like if you could love what you do, right? Like most podcasters really love whatever topic they're talking about. But to actually make it a business, to be successful at it, you got to work, right? And it's not something that's just going to come easy to you. If you want to monetize your podcast, if you want to get distribution of your podcast, it's not something you can just sit on your hands and all these offers are going to come your way. You got to work at it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to sell yourself. It's like essentially, we're like a newspaper. This is the way I like to put it. The newspapers sell a story, or they used to. I mean, newspapers are they're probably not going to be here very much longer, right? So at least print. So when you're doing a podcast, if I don't hear something I like within like the first 5 minutes or 10 minutes, I'm going to change it. So you got to make sure that you talk about really good topics, that you sound really engaged with what your audience wants, any fan interaction. That's what we're trying to do more of on the social media platforms. You're telling a story. You're selling a story, essentially. So you just want to make sure you grab, you know, the listener's attention.
Yeah. And, you know, that was something that, like, so I did that. I did a daily show. I did like 450 episodes of a daily show where I did it every single, every single weekday. At first it was every single day. Then I went to every single weekday. And then I was just like, man, I'm done.
It's a lot.
I'm worn out. I can't do this and do DIY and do. I just felt like, you know, it was a little too much for me to keep that going. And I felt like I did it. You know, it was like, okay, I've done an entire year. And now I'm talking for the last 100 days. I've been talking about the same events that I talked about a year ago. I'm like, I think I'm going to call it quits, you know. But what I didn't want to get to was bad quality. Like in the beginning, you know, as you said, hey, those beginning shows, like, let's forget about those. But like at the end there, I felt like I needed to do a quality show every single day. So I was, there were days where I'd work for like, you know, 2 hours scripting out a 10-minute show. It's like, this is crazy. Like, what am I doing? But I just didn't feel good about putting my name on it if it wasn't going to be decent.
Yeah, you know, no, I feel it, man, because, I mean, sometimes I'll be up to 12, 2 in the morning, like, just like, hey, should be, you know, Vanessa gets it, like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm still working on the show.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if I hear anything I just don't like, I'll delete it, I'll edit it, and I'll just re-record it as many times as I need to make it sound good.
Yeah.
Because you got to think about it. There's people out there that don't know who you are that just, like, randomly come across your show, and they're like, oh, I'm going to listen to it. Listen to it. Oh, that sounds horrible. Because you only get one chance to get the listener.
Right.
That's it. If it's the first time tuning in, they like it, they'll keep on listening. If not, they're not going to. No, I mean, that's just plain simple.
Yeah. And I think if that one lesson that people take away from this show is you got to be proud of what you're putting out. And if you're willing to put out stuff you're not proud of, you know, maybe podcasting's not right for you. You know, it might be fun and all, but it's not. You know, it's probably not going to last, or you're not going to get a large enough audience by just putting out stuff that you just don't feel good about. And I think that's one of the things that Russ and I really focus on, and one of the things that we really appreciate about you, Fidel, and your show is that you're always putting out good content, good information, very entertaining. As Russ is saying, the three of you have fantastic chemistry, and the guests that you get are just. It's some really cool stories on your show, and I really encourage people to listen.
Yeah, I mean, when we get the guest on, you know, Jerry Kendall, I mean, they do a great job asking questions, and myself as well. I try to get them to kind of tell a little bit more than what you would usually get. So some guests, they do it, some don't. So it's kind of depends on the questions that you ask to kind of develop that whole interview, because essentially you're telling their story. And that's what we try to do. And in the earlier stages, and we still kind of do, right. But we talked to a lot of people that were trying to make it to the league. We're trying to make it to the NFL, but didn't have the opportunity to be interviewed by anybody. And that's kind of like where we came in, and we still do that. But yeah, it's just, you just have to be yourself, have good quality on the show, and everything else will take care of itself. You just got to keep on putting things out. You just can't put one show out and say, nah, it didn't sound good. I don't want to do one for like, I don't know, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Just got to keep on doing it. And it's hard. I mean, it's really difficult for us because, again, the time difference is huge.
Yeah.
In my job, I don't have a regular 8 to 5. Like, sometimes I get home at 7, sometimes I get home at 8, sometimes I get home at 9. It's just a long day. And especially with, you know, with having a kid, it's just, it's difficult. And then having your spouse, just there's a lot that goes into it. So you have to kind of plan accordingly to exactly how your day is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy doing this, but it's so much fun.
Yeah. Look, like right now, it's 10 o'clock. If the guys were on here, it would be, you know,
1 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's
true. So, oh, geez. Yeah, well, that's okay. So I said earlier you get to, you know, do a third the work, but now you got to, like, it's three times the problems as far as juggling schedules.
Yeah,
I have enough problems.
It can be difficult, but we've been doing it for so long already. It's like we find a way to
you
get
got it
done.
Down.
So
you got it down.
Yeah, shout out to the whole team, the website, you know, Kendall, Jerry, everyone does a great job, and everybody does their part. So.
All right. So again, if people want to listen to the show, find it out, like find the show, it's obviously available on all the podcast platforms, but the website again,
eastwestfootball.com.
All right. And it's also available that you can see it on Electricast as well. Electricast.com. We've got that over there. Fidel, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Hey, thanks a lot, Fidel. And hey, go Raiders.
Go Raiders.
And thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing DIY for Business, a part of the Best Business Network and Electricast Media. The subjects that we cover on this podcast are selected with the goal of helping your business grow. Yeah, we talked about podcasts a bit. So much of this can like apply to your business, the passion, the communication, getting everybody together and just getting stuff done. It really works. Keep at it. All the information provided is opinion based, and you might want to consult a professional to discuss your exact business needs. Greg and I will. We want your business to succeed, and we're happy to take your questions. We'd also love to hear your suggestions for future episodes. Just head over to DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. The link for that is in this podcast's description. Again, we thank you for listening and subscribing to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
The Geo Godfather Wars is an all-new podcast giving you the real talk on understanding how geopolitics impacts you and your world. Join your host, Barack Sener, and me, Leah Tedrow, each week as we unpack the complexities, strategies, and players running the world, and how those forces affect your everyday life and decisions, whether you know it or not. Available wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you there.
Electricast.
Introducing the Deep Leadership Podcast. Leadership is a people business. That's the philosophy of your podcast host, John Rennie. As a former submarine officer who spent 22 years leading businesses in corporate America before starting his own manufacturing business, he knows that leadership matters.
Leadership matters.
Deep Leadership is real-world, actionable leadership advice from John and his expert guests. Become a leader worth following. Subscribe today.
Electricast.